And ladies and gentlemen, the Football Scoop Podcast is back. It's one of the best days of the year. Today, college football begins, but college football cannot begin until Football Scoop releases one bold prediction. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back probably for the 10th year. Who knows? Internet lore. Could be as many years as we want. I'm going to go with 10. I've been right probably 7 or 8 of them. I don't know. Something like that, roughly. One bold prediction. You can't go small. You can't be like, I don't know, Ohio State's going to be good. Great. Yeah, no kidding. Can't do that. Okay? I need a bold prediction, gentlemen. I've got college football experts. I'm Scott Russo, college football experts. Zach Barnett, Doug Samuels. Gentlemen, great to see you. I don't know where we start. I could flip a coin. I kind of feel like it's going to land on Zach today. Zach, the floor is yours. I don't need to hear about the 7 things you didn't want to choose. I want to hear one bold prediction for the 2026 college football season.
Well, for the record, I was the only one to get my prediction correct last year in predicting the preseason number one team to miss the 12-team playoff. So whether my bold prediction should carry more weight than the others, that's for the listener, the viewer to decide, not for me. So my bold prediction, I've said this on appearances on other shows throughout the summer, so I figure it's only fair to put myself on record now for eternity. And that is, I believe John Sumrall wins a national championship at Florida before Lane Kiffin does at LSU.
Okay. Can I ask you to clarify? How soon might that be?
So this is not a 2026 prediction. I'm not predicting that this year. I think the entire country is a fan of John Sumrall. So I'm not claiming primacy there, but we as a site were on to John Sumrall way before the rest of the country was. Going back to the Troy days before that, the guy's a winner. The guy gets it with a capital G, a capital I, and a trademark after that. I love the hires that he's made. At coordinator, I think Buster Faulkner is probably the most underrated hire that anyone made at the coordinator position coach level in college football. I think the guys that he brought back from the that he kept out of the portal, guys that could have gone and probably made more money elsewhere, guys that could have contended for a national championship elsewhere, he kept them at Florida. I think, while I don't expect Florida to win the national championship this year, I expect to significantly outperform their 4-8 record from a year ago. I don't know what their over-under is this season, but I think this is a 9-win team this season. I think this is a national champion by 2028.
That is bold. I'll give you that. I like it. Can I ask you to clarify one thing? You said John Sumrall wins a national championship at Florida before Lane Kiffin wins one, or before Lane Kiffin wins one at LSU?
Well, if Lane Kiffin does not win one at LSU, he's never winning one. So you could say yes, both, all of the above.
I feel like there's a couple bold predictions in there, all rolled into one, Zach.
I accept them all, but I could not be higher on John Sumrall's future at Florida, and I think they are very soon going to be a top 5 program, top 5 destination for the elite of the elite players, and I'm officially on the record selling my stock, and that I never even held to begin with, but selling my stock in Lane Kiffin at LSU.
You definitely never held it. Great stuff. I love it. Good stuff, Zach. Well done. Doug Samuels, the floor is yours. One bold prediction for the 2026 college football season.
So earlier this week when we talked, it was my theme was disrespect, right? Zach mentioned Buster Faulkner being the most underrated coordinator hire in the country. I think that was LeVar Woods at Michigan State. But my bold prediction follows that same theme because I think there's an 11-win team out there flying under the radar in a big way. And I think it's a team that comes out of nowhere, has a makeup to run the college football or make a run to the college football playoff and even win a game or two in the college football playoff that no one's talking about. So I'm gonna preface this with a little intrigue, see if you guys can connect the dots before I start mentioning some names, right? They finished in the AP poll for the first time since 2004. They climbed as high as number 14. But this offseason somehow erased all that respect they had went out and won last year. Granted, They lost a lot, including their starting quarterback, but they've reloaded in a lot of ways. Starting up front, right? They've got a ton of veteran experience. They've got a fifth-year player at left tackle, a six-year player at left guard, a seventh-year player at center, six-year player at right guard, and then a seventh-year player at right tackle, listed at 6'7", 322 pounds. So he missed last year with an injury, and then to add on top of that, a fifth-year player at tight end. So experience all over the place and in places that matter on offense. But, you know, to win a league, it starts in the trenches. The squad improved defensively, got a couple transfers from Michigan, Baylor, to name a few, to play complementary football on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, real ball knowers are going to start to recognize these names, right? They added two guys in the portal that have a bunch of experience after they lost their quarterback that didn't get a 10th season. The NCAA said, no, you can't play that long. Well, not really 10, but it was pretty close. But they picked up former Penn State quarterback and Missouri quarterback Bo Pribrula, who completed 67% of his passes last year and ranked in the top 20. And then backing him up on their depth chart right now is Eli Holstein, who had a great freshman season at Pitt under Pat Narduzzi, and then took a step back last year and lost that job. But the ACC does not have an Indiana or Ohio State at the top of the top, like cemented in that top spot, right? A top dog to kind of knock off. This team's schedule does not have Miami, does not have Clemson, does not have Louisville on their schedule this year. Their only ranked opponent right now is a road game at SMU, and then they host NC State, Syracuse, Duke, Cal, and North Carolina all at home, right? And then on the road, they got to go to Florida State, Virginia Tech, both games that they could drop, but games that on paper they should win. I really think this year, Tony Elliott and Virginia have the makings of a team that can not only win their league, but that, you know, they lost to Duke in overtime of the ACC championship game last year. But I think they can punch their ticket to the college football playoff this year and win a game or two.
That's bold. I like it. Tony Elliott's a great 9.8 guy.
9.8 boldness. I like
that's
that.
That's a big one.
I'd love to hear your rating on my UMass winning 9 games.
That was off the charts. That was stupid. That was like, nope, sorry, Doug. That was, we wrote you off immediately. You've had some great years. You've had some weird years. This is pretty strong. I like it.
Yeah. I can't hate it. Like, I'm not, that's your bold prediction. That's you, but I see the logic, and I don't find a lot there that I can quibble with. So I'm on board.
I mean, describing the offensive line and their experience, that's a real strong sell right there. It sounds like Indiana from last year. That's
agreed.
That's a wow. Yeah. Impressive. Gentlemen, I feel like it's that time.
Can I say something real quick?
Of course you can.
I know it. Say it.
So Mac. I knew we were doing this, taping this morning. So I'm driving my kids to school and I'm thinking back to past Scott Bowl predictions. And I'm remembering the year when you predicted Auburn to carry Brian Harsin off the field on their shoulders after the Iron Bowl, but not necessarily predicting Auburn to win the game.
Yeah,
so I'm driving my kids to school thinking, man, I really wish we could have all lived in a world where Auburn loses the Iron Bowl but still carries Brian Harsin off the field on the shoulder. I wish we all got to live in that reality.
The task is go bold, gentlemen. So bold, right? Something that's never been done before, ever. History of the world, never been done. I feel like I'm there. I feel like I got this one. And I feel like this one's actually going to happen. One bold prediction for the 2026 college football season. Arch Manning wins the heart of all of college football. In doing so, he also wins the Heisman Trophy. But more importantly, he wins the heart. Peyton Manning clearly should have won the Heisman Trophy. He didn't win the heart of all of college football. And hence, the vote went against him for whatever reason. Gentlemen, 2026, week 2, Texas hosts Ohio State. Arch wins that game. And it sets up big. A couple weeks later, he goes to Neyland, a.k.a. Peyton's home. He wins at Neyland. He directs the band up on the ladder. The video is immortalized. He's side by side with his uncle, Peyton. They then get Red River. They got Florida. They got Ole Miss. They got Mississippi State, all back in Texas. He's hanging numbers, touchdowns, dubs, everything. And then this is where he really wins all of America. He's got an opportunity to go back to his home state of Louisiana, hour from where he grew up. He's playing the villain, Lane Kiffin. Lane's the most talked about thing in college football right now. Arch is coming back to his home state. It's the great all-American kid versus the villain and the program that everybody's talking about. He wins that game. He's set up for a final game of the season at Kyle Field. He walks off a legend. And the Heisman's there. They might as well just hand it to him there. Arch Manning wins the entire country. And say, man, this kid legit he's a dude. And with all the respect he's earned this offseason, everybody's like, man, college football is a dumpster fire. I can't believe all these terrible things. Everybody trades teams every year. They're just chasing a bag, taking NFL dudes back. And Arch is just putting in the work. He goes to all these camps, and everybody's like, man, that's the best dude here. He's the hardest working. He's the leader. He's the earliest guy out there. He's signing every autograph for every kid. And every player wants to play with him. He's the face of the NFL 10 years from now, and he's the 2026 Heisman Trophy winner.
So on brand for Scott.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Bold. Like you're saying, it's bold.
Almost as bold as the number three team in the country 2 years ago winning the national title. Like that was –
Things Not that had never happened. Happened. Doug. Also, a thing that had never happened. You're right.
Zach, you've got to have thoughts.
Heisman Trophy.
Zach, we lost your audio for a second. Come back.
So I'm looking at – I have the DraftKings Heisman odds in front of me, and the number two option is Arch Manning at plus 750.
He was probably the number one option last year also, right? Got off to a terrible start, skids. Woo, and no, it's over. He did was be humble and put in the work. So he gets off to a rough start last year. Everybody saw it. The whole country saw it. And everybody's like, man, this Manning kid ain't that real. You know, he's living off his uncle's names and whatever. He goes 7-1, you know, in his final eight games. The only loss is actually Florida, right? And he puts up two touchdowns with his feet, two touchdowns through the air against Michigan in the bowl win. 7-1 with only two picks in those last eight games. Old boy's coming to play. He's going to put a lot of dubs on the wall this year.
So I will defend you on one point there, and that is the winning the Heisman is not bold, but winning the hearts of America – I will give you credit there because there are a lot of people preying on that kid's downfall and waiting for him to fail. And Absolutely. There's a lot of people that are just tired of the Manning family and would love to see one fail. So for him to win over his many daughters and haters, that would be a greater accomplishment than winning the first Manning to win the Heisman Trophy.
I agree. I'm leading with the bold prediction is he wins the hearts of all of America. And in doing so, also wins the Heisman Trophy.
Wow. I thought that whole lead-in, when he got to the end, was going to be, and he decides to run it back for the 2027 season and comes back at Texas. I thought that would have been bold.
I don't think that's insane at all. I don't think that's off. I don't think that's off the table one bit. I wouldn't be surprised in any way if he did that.
I mean, Peyton probably would have done that if he'd had the opportunity when the Jets got the number one pick his year. He had to leave.
So it's not, you know, it's not about money. Money is not the rookie contracts. Not even, you know, obviously shoe contracts and stuff will be interesting, but he's making plenty of money in NCAA. Not that he needs it. I think draft, you know, order, I think will be a consideration. He's like, yeah, well, we'll see. But I think Arch loves college football. He loves being a young man doing what he's doing. He loves his teammates. He's everything that's right about the sport.
And I think if they have a great season, imagine the bargaining chip that is for Sark to put together an elite transfer portal class. You got Arch coming back. No one expected him to. Like, that could be monumental for that program.
The bold predictions are in ink. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Football Scoop staff. We love doing this. We appreciate you joining us every couple of days on the podcast. Tell your friends, we're helping to grow this thing. And games begin tonight, 5 o'clock Central. We got about 20 games tonight, largely FCS. It's going to be a banger. Let's make it a great season, folks. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thank you.